about as basic a gospel message as you will hear. We need to stick to basics. Fundamentals of the faith. You sports fans, any of you? Like football. Football coaches, a good football coach will always stress the basics, fundamentals, blocking, tackling. Those things are stressed. Everything else will take care of itself. Back to basics. The fundamentals I speak of are found here in Romans chapter 8. Turn over there, Romans chapter 8. Why we are here this morning, what we should be concerned with, the fundamentals of what this is all about, why this little building is set up, and what we're doing here. Fundamental reasons, fundamental things to know God. This is a place of worship, to worship God. That's why we're here this morning, not just so we can. This is not just a poor man's country club. This is not just a religious gathering. Everybody gets religious on one day of the week, so we gather together and be religious. That's not what this is all about. This is a place of worship. Christ said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, house of worship. We're here to know God, hopefully. I believe there's some who are to worship God. We've got great many reasons to worship God, to be here this morning. We're here to worship God, find out what salvation is, to hear from God's Word, to look into God's Word, see what God says. Are you interested? Is that why you're here? Are you interested? You want to know God? There's only one place you're going to find out God. Know God. Talking about faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You're going to have to hear the true God preached. If you're going to worship God, know God, you're going to have to hear the true one. Somebody's going to have to declare God as God. A lot of places meeting together this morning who might as well not have met because the man's not standing up declaring God. And if you met to worship God, you're going to have to hear God preached. God's going to have to be preached. There's only one God. That's what this is all about. That's why this building exists. That's why this gathering of people is here. One God. What is salvation? There's a salvation to be had. What is it? This is how you find out. It's how you obtain it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. How is somebody saved? There's only one way. And you're not going to be saved unless you hear it. One way. Not many ways. There's one way. One Lord, one God, one faith. The Scripture says in Ephesians 4. I will give you some basic words this morning. Words that describe God. I'm going to declare God this morning. Well, I hope the Holy Spirit does. But I'm going to describe God, His person. I'm going to describe how God saves people. Are you interested? Basic words, Bible words, words that a lot of people just aren't concerned with, words that make a lot of people mad, words that make believers glad, basic words, Bible words. Peter said, this is the word we preach unto you, which by the gospel, All right, Romans 8, verse 28. Everybody like this is the funeral. This is the funeral verse. What everybody reads at the funeral. But I'm telling you, this doesn't apply to everybody that dies. Somebody that dies outside of Christ, that death didn't work together for their good. They're condemned forever. This is not a funeral verse. This is a verse for life. Verse 28 says, all right, verse 28. And we know that all things work together. Who's the we here? All things work together. Who knows this? Turn back to Romans 1, all right? I'm going to have you turning through the scriptures, and I hope you're interested enough to follow along. Romans chapter 1. Who's the we? Paul says, and we know that all things work together. Everything's working together. We know this. Who's the we, Stan? Well, Romans 1 says it, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. All right, Paul says he's one of the we. Paul, down to verse 6, among whom also you're called. Paul says, I was called, you're called. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saint. Loved of God, called. Loved and called. We. No. That all things work together. We know. All who are called of God know this. John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Sons of God know this. All things work together. John 6:45, our Lord said, they shall all be taught of God. Who's the all? He was quoting Isaiah 54. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And we know. All God's people know this. All God's true people, sons, every one of them without exception, know this, that all things work together. How? All right, turn over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. How is it that things are not happening randomly or by chance or by accident or by happenstance or by luck or by a stroke, you know, just whatever? How is it that things are working together? We know this. You know this, Barbara. How do you know this? You know who's doing it. That's how you know. We know that all things work together. How do you know? Verse 6, Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who as I shall call, shall declare it, set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come. You hear that? You know this? You know this, Deborah. You know this. Why? He said it. I am the Lord. I appointed all things. I appointed all people. Things that are coming, things that shall come, things that have come. All things work together because I'm the one working them, God said. Look over a page, Isaiah 45. Do you know this? All of God's people know this. They all are taught this. That God's God. That God's God. Not Satan, not man. God's God. I'm the Lord. There's none else. I'm doing it all. Verse 5. Do you know this? All God's people do. This is the fundamentals of the faith. If you don't believe this God, you've got another one. Men who aren't preaching this God, Rick Williams, are preaching a false God. Is it necessary a man believe in a sovereign God? He ain't got one if he doesn't.
Verse 5, Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, there is none else. God says this so many times. There is no God beside me. God, a capital G. Absolute ruler, controller, sustainer, provider of all things. King, in whom we live and move and have, in whom are all things. Who's controlling? In whom is life? In whom is death? Takes it away. Read it. I girded you. I put your clothes on, even though you don't know me. See that? You don't know me? Doesn't matter. I'm still God. Don't believe in me? Doesn't matter. I'm still God, he said. Though men don't acknowledge him, doesn't matter. He's still God. And they'll go to their death not acknowledging him. He'll still be God. Someday we'll acknowledge him. Verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there's none beside me. I'm the Lord. There's none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. Create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And we know. All things work together. Why? Because God's the one that's working. Look at chapter 46. Do you know this? You just read it. If you don't know and believe it, then you're just flat out the man or the woman who does not know this and believe it. They're just a rebel. They're just an unbeliever. That's all it is to it. You're willingly ignorant of it. If you don't know it, you're willingly ignorant because we just read it, didn't we? So it doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't mean what most preachers say it means. But it means exactly what God said. It says what it says.
Read on. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I am God, there's none else. I am God. There is none like me. This is what God teaches everybody that he's going to say. First thing, I'm God. I'm God. See, that's fundamental, isn't it? Fundamentalists out there, they call the Southern Baptists call themselves fundamentalists. They ain't. Because they say God wants this, God wants that, let God. That ain't God. Is it? The fundamentalist is God says, I'm God. I'm the creator, you're the creature. I'm the potter. You are what? Clay. Clay has no say. Huh? I tell you, this thing's about glorifying God, buddy. If people ain't going to glorify him as God, God's not going to have them. Look, read on. Declaring, verse 10. I'm God declaring the end from the beginning. How can he do that? Because he does it. He declares it because he's the one that decides it. He's the one that works it. The end from the beginning. Are you reading the same thing I'm reading? From ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do what? Oh, you let him? That's what preachers are saying, aren't they, Terry? They're lying on God. God says, I will do all my pleasure. Now, I'm not getting mad. I just glorify God. Huh? I never get tired of thinking about this, hearing a man preach from it, reading it in the Scriptures. I'm God, and we know that all things are working together. It's your only hope, John Schuessler. Only peace of mind you're going to have in this world that's just falling apart. It ain't falling apart. God has it in his hand. It's all working together according to his purpose, and we'll get to that in a minute. Read on. Verse 11 says, I call a ravenous bird. That's a man named Cyrus that was a evil, wicked man, God said he called him and sent him to Israel to do what he did to them. The man that executes my counsel, I told the command, did what God told him to do. Huh? Saddam Hussein did what God. The king's heart is in the hands of who? The Lord. Now, what's that?
This is Bible. This ain't Southern Baptist doctrine. This is Bible.
Well, it was at one time, wasn't it, Ed? They actually had this in their confessions of faith. They sure ain't preaching it.
Well, you ain't preaching unless you're preaching it. God as God. This is fundamental. God's God. You don't let him. You don't tell him. You don't prevent him. You don't do nothing. God's God. Read it. I've spoken it. Verse 11. Whatever God says, he said, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I'm going to do it. I just like that. I'm enjoying myself right now. That's my God. That's your God. That's everybody's God, whether they know it or not. This is all my peace, all my comfort. Let all things, all right, back to the text, work together for good to them that love God. For my good. There's nothing that will happen to me if I'm one of God's own. But what is the absolute best? God's too wise to err, too good to do evil, too sovereign for anything to be out of his control. He's God. And he says, when I set my love on somebody, they're loved. When I got a hold of somebody, they've gotten hold of. And he does all things. We know this. I tell you, if you know this, it'll give you some peace. This is where all peace starts, that God is God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on who? Jehovah. God. All right, read it again. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. To them who love God that are called according to his purpose. This is what started it all. God's purpose. And this is what God will impress upon your mind and your heart when he first begins to work on you.
That God does all things on purpose. My pastor was a pitiful seminary
graduate
Southern Baptist religionist, like so many of these preachers are, you know, preaching a God he didn't know. And a preacher dared to get up one day and just preach Romans and say this: God does all things on purpose. You learn that, you learn who God is. Purpose. Purpose. Not accident, not chance. Purpose. That opened my pastor's eye, and it opened so many people's eyes. It'll open your eyes that God does everything on purpose. No accidents. No chance. No luck. Nothing out of purpose. You read that? Romans 8, 28. So everybody reads it. How many people believe it? We know. And we know. Yet all things working according to his purpose. Listen to this. Acts 15:18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. See some people turning. Fine. Please do. Look it up. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Ephesians 1:11 said, God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All things. And we know all things work
together. It's God who's working, God who's controlling. For good to them that love God, or who loves God. Who loves God? Whoever decides to love Him one day? No. No. That means God's waiting around, so we're going to love Him. That means chance. That means hope. God, that means something's out of His control.
Herein is love, listen to it, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Verse 19 says, we love Him because, why? He first loved us. Anybody who loves God, because God first loved them.
We'll see that here in a moment. No man, no woman will love the only true God. There may be somebody in here right now, after having heard me preach this God, high and lifted up, and all things in His hands, who is gritting their teeth, who does not like this. They may not be, maybe there is though. Somebody who objects to this. They don't love this God, you see. There's a myriad of people out there. Millions of people out there in the world who do not love this God. This sovereign God who's God. Go out there and tell them. Just go out and declare it. What you have, and you run into them, haven't you, John?
They don't love this God, do they? They hate Him. Who loves God, John? Those God decides to make them love Him.
No man will ever love this God unless God first loves them and causes them to love Him. The carnal mind, Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man will not have this God reign over him. I won't have that God. Don't they, John? They won't have Him.
They will if God has them. If God says, yes, you will, you'll be made willing. You will have Me as God. You will bow your knee to Me. You will love Me as God. Someday you'll really love Me as God.
And wouldn't have Me any other way. There was a time you didn't believe this, wasn't there, John? That you would have thought a man who said this. That God's, you know, that God's what they're preaching today. God wants to and can. God loves everybody without it. You'd have thought a man who said, no, God doesn't love everybody. God, there's nothing out of God's control. God does exactly everything according to His will. But you'd have thought Him, wouldn't you? Now shoes on the other foot.
The gospel shoes shod.
But some do love God. Who loves Him? Those He first loves. Who are the called? See that? Who are the that love God? The called. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together. Why? God's working. To them that love God, who loves Him? Those that He first loved. To them who are called according to His purpose. Not who calls Him. That comes later. Turn to it. Over in Acts chapter 2. Turn over there. Peter was preaching this. Acts chapter 2. And these soul winners like to take you down the Romans road. They use Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call, verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, Peter used this. And he was preaching. In Acts chapter 2, look at it. Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching, and he said in verse, let's see, if I can find it. Acts chapter 2, where is it? 39. Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, the promise is unto you, the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 32, and that's what Paul is quoting. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, who will? Acts 2:39 says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look at verse 47. So these people did. They praised God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look over to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Turn over there quickly. Acts 13, verse 48. This is another time when many people were saved. Verse 44 says, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. All right, down at verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. You got it? Acts 13, 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as the Lord our God shall call. You remember reading that in Romans 1? Did you remember reading that in Romans 1? The called of God? Called to be saved? Called of God? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who he first loved, who are the called according to his purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1. A man is not saved because he calls on God. That'd make salvation conditioned on us calling, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a work? Wouldn't that be a work? That stands not going to come to me unless I call him. Say, Stan, I did that, didn't I? I did that. You didn't come until I did that. That's my work, isn't it? I get some credit for you coming, don't I? Man's not saved because he calls. He calls because God decided to save him. That's why. Because God calls him, he calls on God. Look at it, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not because we're good little boys and girls, according to our works, but according to his own purpose, which was given us when? In Christ Jesus before the world began. God decided to do this before the children were yet born. We read it in Romans 9, didn't we? Before the children were born, it was said unto her, you haven't done any good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It is not of him that willeth, but him that runneth, of God to show mercy. Called with a... Here's some more words, aren't there? More words. Words. Salvation's in the word.
Dung.
Salvation's in the word. This is the word of faith.
God. Called.
Called. Your salvation, Joe, is because God
called you.
Right? Called you.
Purpose.
All your peace stands going to come from this
purpose.
That's a good word, isn't it? Huh? Good word. Back to the text now. Listen. Hey, y'all.
Be a Berean. Be a Berean. We're searching the scriptures. Be more noble than these religionists out here. And let's search the scriptures and see if these things are so. All I want you to do is see the scriptures this morning.
I'm not trying to prove anything.
I want you to see what God says about himself and what God says about how he's saved.
All right? Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You be a Berean. You search the scriptures. Peter says you need to be ready to give every man an answer. What kind of answer? Well, I think. Oh, no, that's no answer. Everybody's got their opinion. Like a certain part of the anatomy, everybody's got one. Everybody's got an opinion. One woman told my wife the other day, she's a Sunday school teacher, too. She said, I don't know much about the Bible.
Well, then you don't know much, period, then, do you?
Oh, God forbid that anybody in here should ever say that. Don't you ever go out and say that. It's a terrible reflection on what's being preached here. I want you to know something about the Bible, Deborah. I don't want you to know what I think, what Southern Baptist religion thinks, what our denomination thinks. I want you to know what God says. You better know something about the Bible. You don't know anything. Right? Put it a different way. State it a different way. I don't know everything I ought to know, but I know this. We know. It's one thing I do know. All things work together because God's God. That's what I do know. Tell you what else I know. God saves whoever Christ died for. He saved. You know some things, don't you, Joe? Now, come on, John, Steve. You better know something about the Bible or I quit. What have I been doing for 6 years? I quit. Let somebody else come in here to teach you something. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he said he called you by our gospel. Called you by our gospel. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says this. Blessed be God who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Who's the us? Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He chose who? According to he chose us. If you're chosen, he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Why did he do it? Verse 5. Predestinated us according under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why did he do it? According to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. To praise his grace, not your decision. To praise his power, not your will. Praise his will, not your will. To praise his grace, not your works. To praise his name, not your denomination's name. Not your preacher's name, his name. To give him glory, not share it with anybody. That's why he did it. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption, through his blood. How do you have redemption? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sin, according to what? Works and grace? No, grace. Great. Verse 9. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. How does anybody know this gospel?
He makes it known. He reveals it.
Natural man doesn't understand things of God. Neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. They're revealed. According to the good. Why does anybody understand? Because God
chooses to let them understand.
Verse 9. According to the good pleasure of his will, which he purposed in himself. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. Words. More words, aren't there? More Bible words.
Predestinate.
The most despised name in religion today. The most despised word in all of religion.
The P word. Predestinate. Used 4 times. I bet most of them that despise it don't know where it's at. Romans 8 twice, and it's in Ephesians 1 twice.
Man says, I don't believe that.
man says, I'm a Bible believer. You believe predestination if you're a Bible believer. Right? Predestinate according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of your will, His own will. What could be plainer?
Well, Proverbs 8 says this, all my words, he says in Proverbs 8, and I can look it up real fast, but he says there's nothing forward or hidden or perverse in them. This is Christ talking. Proverbs 8 is a picture of Christ. He says there's nothing, wisdom is speaking, he says there's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to them that understand it. He said, what do you mean that? No, it says it. What could be plainer? Seeing we have such hope, one hope, only one hope, that God's God, and He decides to save you, and you'll be saved. That's the only hope. Therefore, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Predestinate. Who He did foreknow. Read it in Romans 8. Back to Romans 8 now. Romans 8, verse 29. We looked at words like purpose, didn't we? Called. How does He call? He calls by the gospel. That's what 2 Thessalonians 2, whom He called you by the gospel. What I'm preaching right now. This is how God calls. He's the first thing He says is, the first way He calls is Vicki, I'm God. First thing you know is first thing you hear from God's Word. I'm God. You're nothing. You're a sinner. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm just. I'm sovereign. You're nothing. You're sinful. Right? These are the fundamentals. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, what's that mean? Well, God, this is what they say. Jill, this is what these fools out there say in religion. God got him a telescope. This is the illustration they use. God got him a big telescope and looked down through time to see who's going to believe on Him. And therefore He chose him. Hey, there. Hey. Oh, I hope he didn't. Too bad. I wish it. Hey, that man's going to choose me. He did. He made his profession. Well, I'll write his name in this Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that absurd? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Number one, the Lamb's Book of Life was written before the world began. Isn't that what it says? The Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. It says it was sealed. And over in Revelation, it says that John, the Lamb takes the book and opens the seals. In the end, when it's all over, He's going to open the seal. It's been sealed ever since. How do you put a name in a book that's been sealed? Foreknow. Foreknow means foreloved. To know, the law first mentioned, when Adam knew his wife Eve. The first time knew is used in the Scripture. The word knew means, foreknow means to join together. To foreknow. To know. I know my wife. I love my wife. We are one. These two have become one, literally. Mind, heart, soul, flesh, one. Two become no. God entered in a relationship with His people. He foreknew them. He chose them. He foreloved them. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee. I have foreloved thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, for whom He did foreknow. Not who saw that He just to know things beforehand. Sure He does. How does God foreknow everything beforehand?
He does it. We know that all things work together according to his purpose. To them that love God. Why they love God? He first loved them. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, predetermine. Everything about him. Predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his son. And that's what salvation is all about. The gospel. God comes calling in the gospel. Read it, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Paul, I already quoted, he who called you by our gospel. He calls you to see his glory, to see yourself, to see his son. He calls you to faith in his son. Well, who believes?
Ephesians 2:10 says, by grace, 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Where does that come from? It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. According to the working of his mighty power in them to believe. Right? He makes them believe. Faith's even his work. That's his purpose.
He comes calling one day and says, you're going to believe on God. You haven't liked it up until now, but now you're going to love me as God. You're going to bow your knee to me. You're going to bow your knee. You're going to see yourself. You're going to loathe yourself. You used to love yourself and hate God. Now you're going to hate yourself and love God. And you're going to call for mercy and grace at the hands of a sovereign Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're going to call at his hands for mercy. You're not going to get it otherwise. You're going to call. You're going to call. Because I'm calling you. And you're going to call. And what does the person do that God calls? They call. Whosoever shall call shall be saved. Who will call? As many as the Lord our God called. They shall be saved. Predestinate, call. Has God called you? You call on him. And whom he called, he justified. Justified. Declares righteous. Innocent of any wrongdoing. Holy. Righteous. Why, Lord? Why?
Anything to do with you.
Everything to do with that Christ you called on. Everything. He justified you. Revelation 17, and I'll quit. All right? Turn over there and I'll quit with this. And really, you know what the gospel call is? It's a call to repentance, yes. Repentance. Christ came preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it is, though, really? It's a declaration by God to tell you that he's justified you. That's what the gospel call is. God coming to you and declaring to you from his word, I've justified you. I've forgiven you all your sin. Because, look there. You see that? See that man hanging on that tree? I've justified you because of him. That's the call. That's the call. Glorify whom he justified, he glorified. And that's glory. Isn't that glory? Glorious. Have your eyes, your ears, your heart open. Revelation 17. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what I've been trying to say through this whole message. That he is Lord and salvation's in his hands. You're in his hands. Salvation's his choice. Salvation's his calling. Salvation's his work. Salvation's in his son's blood and righteousness. Salvation's in him keeping you, not you keeping yourself. Revelation 17 describes the people that are with him in the end. Verse 14. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb. It's talking about false church and this and that and the other. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are
three things. Called. Chosen. And faithful. Faithful because he's faithful. And they're kept by his power. We know. I'm more persuaded of this than ever before. I know this. Ain't a shadow of a doubt in my mind. That all things work together. Why? Because God's God, that's why. And they're working together for good to them that love God. The damnation of the people that don't. But there'll be the eternal glorification of them that do. And the only reason they love God is because he first loved them. To them who are called, whoever says call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only reason they're called is that God
called them.
To them that are called according to his purpose. And he didn't do it by accident. He did it on purpose. And that purpose was to glorify himself and for you to behold his glory. Have you beheld his glory this morning? That's what we're called for. That's the only reason for our existence. To behold his glory. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called, whom he called, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. What do you say to these things? Henry Sawyer, what do you say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? That's my God. God be for me. I'm not worried about a thing. If you don't have that kind of God, you've got a lot to worry about. You don't worry about whether or not you remain faithful. You don't worry about whether or not he might send you to hell someday, even though he does love you. That's not my God. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not what he teaches his children. He teaches them all the same thing. Same thing. Same one. Okay, stand with me. Stand with me. John Sheasley, would you please dismiss us in prayer, please?